The second time, now it's recording.
And now we hear you saying that.
Now you hear me saying that. And now we're going to be listening to, don't touch it now. Now we're going to listen to Keith Jarrett playing at the garage, Santa Monica Prefecture.
The doctors in Liberia found an innovative way to try and fight it. In fact, that's what we usually do when it comes to chaos. We try to control it, to manage it. If you're a parent, you've told your kids 1,000 times, your room is a mess, clean it up. Managers tell their employees to get organized. In the United States, we elect presidents to go clean up Washington. In the next half of our show, we explore a very different idea. What happens if we treat chaos as our friend instead of our enemy? Tim Harford believes we should do just that. He's the author of Messy, The Power of Disorder to Transform Our Lives. He joined us in 2016 for a live taping. We were just blocks from the White House at NPR's Weekend in Washington, an event that brings together public radio fans and supporters. Tim Harford, welcome to Hidden Brain.
Thank you very much, Shemko.
I want to begin by playing you a piece of music, Tim.
That piece of music come about? What's the story?
It's beautiful, isn't it? I mean, two of my children were born to that. It was played by Keith Jarrett, great jazz pianist, in 1975 in Cologne. And if you had been there 2 or 3 hours before the concert, you would not have expected things to go well. Keith Jarrett had just refused to play. And the reason he'd refused to play is because he had arrived on stage, met the piano, he was supposed to be... completely improvised, by the way. The whole thing was going to be improvised. Met this piano and realized that there'd been a mistake, and the thing was literally unplayable. It was out of tune, black keys were sticking, the pedals didn't work, the upper register of the keyboard was harsh and tinny because all the felt had worn away, and most importantly, it was too small, so it didn't have enough volume to actually reach the back of the Cologne auditorium. And so, of course, he refused to play. And the organizer of the concert, who was this young German girl, she's just 17 years old, desperately tried to fix the piano, to replace the piano. She managed to get it somewhat in tune, but basically she couldn't really improve on it, and she couldn't get it replaced. And so the only option she had was to beg Keith Jarrett to play. And of course, he saw this teenager, thought of the 1,400 people who were about to show up and listen to the concert, and said to her, "Never forget. Only for you." And he went on stage, and he and his producer recorded the concert because they wanted documentary evidence of what a musical catastrophe sounds like so they could play it to future promoters to tell them to do a good job and get a proper piano. But in fact, it's a masterpiece. It's Keith Jarrett's most popular work. In fact, it's the best-selling jazz album in history, solo jazz album in history. And the best-selling piano album in history is the Cologne Concert. And the surprising thing is that all the adjustments that Jarrett had to make to cope with this bad piano made the music better. So he avoided the harsh upper registers. He stuck to the middle of the keyboard. That makes it sound very soothing. But he also had to compensate for the fact that the piano was so quiet. So he had these rolling, repetitive riffs in the bass to try to get some resonance. And he also just stood up and pounded down on the keys. So you can hear him moaning in frustration during the concert. He's hating it, but it is amazing. And that combination of the peacefulness and the dynamism makes this electrifying piece of music. So he did not expect that a bad piano would produce a great concert, but in fact it did. And the argument in my book is very often we're faced with the unplayable piano, and actually we produce something great out of it.